It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time. Over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513 on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Good morning, everybody. John Schmell with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live. And free agency marches closer by the day. You can start negotiating on March 9th. Free agency begins a couple days after that. The Giants still very quiet. No moves in terms of creating more salary cap space. Right now they sit just below that $20 million mark in terms of the amount of money they can spend in free agency. But you would assume they're going to do a renegotiation with Chris Snee. That would probably happen sooner rather than later. They'll have to make decisions on both David Boss and perhaps on Matthias Kiwanuka as well moving forward if they want to try to save some money with either one of those two guys based on the amount of dead money they have on their salary caps figures coming up for these next couple seasons. And then you have to decide whether or not you want to extend down to our role. You got to decide what you want to do with Eli Manning. So a lot of work for the Giants to do over the next couple of days before free agency begins. And as Jerry Reese put it at the Combine, there are three stages of free agency. You have the first stage where teams will go out there, target specific guys, the guys on the top of the market, and they'll throw a lot of money at those guys, sometimes going even over market value to secure the guys they think they really need to make their teams competitive. That's number one. Then you have the second stage where things kind of calm down after that first run, and you might get an above-average guy for an average player cost if he didn't find a fit in that first rung of free agency. Then finally, you get to the May area, June, where you have the guys that are kind of left without a job, and these could be good players. Last year, Carlos Dansby wasn't signed until June. He was an excellent middle linebacker last year. Darryl Smith, another guy who was a good linebacker last year. He wasn't signed until the summer. So other guys will still be left around that time where you can bring them in and they can help your team. So those are the three stages of free agency that the Giants will work in. I would expect for them to make one move in the initial flurry, try to go out there, get one big offensive lineman to help this team, and then they'd probably make a couple moves in that middle section and they'll fill out their roster in that final stage of free agency. But we'll see who's available. We'll see who's able to even come to the Giants. Obviously, I know a lot of fans wanted Alex Mack, but with that transition tag, it's going to be very tough to offer him a contract that I believe the Browns will not match. So that's interesting. And really, the Giants are going to have to be patient. They can't spend big on more than a couple of guys in free agency, mostly because they had to bring back their own players, like Justin Tuck, like John Beeson. Some people want Akeem Nicks back. I'm sure they'll investigate that, but odds are that's probably not going to happen. Linval Joseph, another guy. The Terrell Thomases of the world, guys like that. So obviously the Giants have to take care of their own on defense primarily, and on offense they're going to have to add some new pieces here, primarily in the offensive line, but they're going to need a starting running back as well, a tight end, a wide receiver. So a ton of stuff for the Giants to get done here in this offseason. We've said it before, the most important offseason the Giants have had in a few years. So certainly a lot to do. Michael Eisen, beat reporter for Giants.com, will be joining us over the course of the show. When he has a couple minutes, he'll join us. But for now, let's get to your calls early here on Big Blue Kickoff Live at 201-939-4513. Or you can chime in on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. But the phones first, a full bank of calls. And let's start with Andrew in Stanhope, New Jersey. Andrew, what's up?
Hey, what's up, John? I didn't get a chance to check in with you after the offensive coordinator choice. I'm very happy, like everyone is. No, I think he's a young Kevin Gilbride, even though people were down on Gil. No, I think he's a good young coach, even though he was with the Packers for 10 years.
Right.
And I hope that he's not going to get snatched up and become a head coach too soon. Hopefully we can get at least 4 or 5 years out of him. And I watched on Giants.com Gil Bryce, video saga of his career, and I was surprised he started the run and shoot offense with Warren Moon. So,
well, yeah, he had one of the best offenses in football when he coached the Houston Oilers. You had Warren Moon, Lorenzo White, Haywood mm-hmm. Jeffries, Ernest Givens, Webster Slaughter was there, Drew Hill, Curtis Duncan. They had a very, very good offense down there in Houston.
And I think Len from Maryland, he was right, even though it turned out to be wrong. He said before the season started that there's going to be a lot of salsa dancing and backflips, which should have been right, but the injuries, the running back got injured, Wilson, and Cruz was double-teamed and not enough time for Eli to connect with him that much. But I think if we're healthy, whether it was Gilbry or the new guy, McAdoo, either way, like if the line's chugging along and healthy, I think, the offense will be dramatically improved. And I wanted to ask you about the theory, of the draft. If you had a chance this year to draft either Carl Banks or Jason Sehorn, and they were both available to play on this 2014 Giants, which player would you pick?
That's actually an interesting question. That's a good hypothetical. Here's the issue with Banksy. Banks was a 3-4 outside linebacker, and the Giants play a 4-3. Now, I think Carl would adjust quite well to being a traditional 4-3 strong side linebacker, something the Giants need. And I would say Banks probably had a better overall career than Sehorn did, so I think you have to go Banks.
Right, and I think Banks was good also jamming the tight ends. Like, even though he was a big physical linebacker, he wasn't necessarily like a cover linebacker, but he would just knock the tight ends right out of the formation. So if he had played during the era with Jason Witten or even the guy in New Orleans Saints, I think Banks would just, boom, just knock him right out of trajectory, take him out of the play. So he was he's definitely good in the pass game in that sense. And I think Sehorn, he had the injury, but I might lean towards Sehorn over Banks because of the pass, because the NFL, it's more pass-happy, the big plays, the rule changes that favor the receiver. So it's a tough one, but it's too hard to pick, but I might take Sehorn just because of the passing games in the NFL. But thanks for taking my call.
No problem, Andrew. And that's the thing. I think Banks was a better player, but I believe, like you said, in terms of the way the NFL works, and frankly, in terms of what the Giants need this year, I would consider Sehorn just because I think cornerback is a more valuable and important position in general in the NFL, and the Giants obviously don't really have a second one after Prince. But I want to go back for a second because I thought what Andrew said at the start of the call was interesting, saying how, Len predicted before the season you'd have a lot of backflips and salsa dances and things of that nature. And here's the problem, and this was the issue with the Giants this past season. We talked all summer and spring about who the Giants, and this was last year, who they would have needed to come up big in order for them to have a big-time season and play great football and win the division. And here are the guys we talked about. We talked about Knicks having to bounce back from a subpar 2012 when he couldn't really make any big plays in the second half of the year after he was nursing that knee injury. Didn't happen. We talked about Jason Pierre-Paul after a very quiet second half of the year in 2012, need to become a dynamic pass rusher again. Never happened. David Wilson had to stay healthy to provide explosion and consistency at running back. Never happened. So those are three of your big-time guys right there, and all three came up empty. Brandon Myers had to come in and replace Martellus Bennett's production and, be a decent blocker. Didn't happen. Snee and David Boss have to come back from injury to anchor the inside of that offensive line. Didn't happen. And these are a lot of things that the Giants needed to work, and they didn't. You want to know why they didn't win games and why the expectations were off at the start of the year by John Mara's own admission at his postseason press conference? Guys you were counting on didn't get the job done. These are supposed to be some of your best players. JPP, first-round pick. Knicks, first-round pick. David Wilson, first-round picks. Three of your last five first-round picks last year gave you nothing. Well, not fair. Knicks gave you more than nothing, and JPP gave you a little more than nothing. But they were huge disappointments. They played poorly or they got hurt. Three of your last five first-round picks. Actually, is that even three out of the last four? JPP, Knicks, and Wilson? Yeah, he's the fourth one, right? So that's three out of the last four. Is there a fifth one? I don't think so. Justin Pugh, that's right. So it is three out of five. Hello. But going into last season, before that Pugh pick, that was three out of your four last first-round picks. Now three out of five. And they all came up and gave you, next to nothing last year. It's hard to win games when that happens. Can't miss on ones, folks. You can't. And again, there were injuries with JPP's back. I get that. David Wilson's neck slash back. I get that. And the Giants have had a lot of bad luck with injuries with these draft picks, too. Those three guys, Kenny Phillips, Terrell Thomas, guys with promise that didn't work out because of injuries. 201-939-4513. Bash is in Ohio. Bash, what's going on, pal?
What's going on with you, John? Just going off what you just talking about with when I was the last caller on the aspects of our last free agency. Our last draft pick, three out of five being bust. Now, do they look at, when they're scouting these players out of college, do they look at their injury bounds in college, how they injury prone in college and everything? They look at that? Going off the last question,
yeah,
do they look at injuries before they draft?
Yeah, you do. And, for example, when the Giants drafted Kenny Phillips in the first round, he didn't have any bad injury history coming out of college. Hakeem Nicks had a minor deal, but he was nothing serious. JPP was healthy coming out of college. So it's not like these guys that they picked were guys that were considered, high-risk, high-reward guys. Marvin Austin is a guy that was a high-risk, high-reward guy. He was coming out of college. He had missed the year because of injury. He had been suspended. So, yeah, he was an injury risk. But these first-round picks I'm talking about, David Wilson, too, these guys were healthy in college. So there was really no reason to think that they would be dealing with these injuries in the NFL.
Okay.
Just bad luck.
Going off that question. Okay, going off those questions, but I had two questions myself that I was asking. Now, I seen it on news yesterday that the Eagles released Jason Avant and the Vikings are thinking about releasing John Carlson, the tight end. Do you think we'll look at even one of those players in free agency?
I mean, John Carlson.
Jason Avant, sure hands, and John Carlson. I know he had the concussion issues going on in the past two seasons. Do you think he's someone the Giants might look at tight end?
John Carlson, I wouldn't get too excited about. He's a veteran. You mentioned the concussion issues, and he's never really fulfilled his potential, so I wouldn't get too excited about him. I think Jason Avant's interesting. And I think the reason the Eagles released him is that they're finally willing to commit to that two tight end offense, so they don't really need that third wide receiver since they're going to be going two tight ends so much, and that's why they let go of Jason Avant. But Jason Avant is a sure-handed, physical, inside slot receiver. He's very reliable. He's not going to beat you deep. He's not going to, wow you with his speed or his quickness, but he's extremely solid. And something a lot of people don't know about Jason Avant, might be the best blocking wide receiver in the entire NFL. Every time I talk to our scouts and they talk about Jason Avant, they rave about his ability to block. And he's a very valuable player in that regard. So, do I think he could be the guy the Giants add as a reliable veteran that you can plug in there, in the slot from time to time and, be that possession receiver over the middle? I don't think it's out of the question, but I think they'll look at guys that probably have more explosive capabilities first that can get deep, can beat you down the field. Because right now, I think what this team is missing at wide receiver, they have quickness and speed with Cruz, but they don't have anybody that gives you that combination of size and speed. And I think they're going to be looking for that combination when they hit free agency.
All right. Second question. I've seen a lot of people talk about Nicholas in the second round at the tight ends. Talk about Nicholas is redevelopable. Now, we at least have the other two tight ends. Say Ebron's the only one to go in the first round. You got Saffron Jenkins and Jason Merrill both sitting there, and Nicholas, all three sitting there. Do you still go with Nicholas, or you will one of the other two tight ends over Nicholas if all three of them are available in the second round?
I would not pick Amaro because of those top four tight ends, and I'll throw Ebron into the mix too. He's the guy that's blocked the least. He was split out wide a lot in college, and he really isn't much of a blocker. And frankly, his height and weight doesn't suggest that he can become a great blocker. So I would take him out of the equation completely.
Okay.
I think Seferian Jenkins and Nicholas are an interesting combination to look at. I mean, if you want to get a guy that's going to be good right away and he's going to be solid and you know what you're getting, you draft Nicholas. But Seferian Jenkins has that combination of size, speed, height, athleticism, where he could become a dynamic wide receiver. Now, is he ever going to be the physical guy that's going to block? Is he, you know, the 270 pounds that Nicholas is? No. But I think he'll give you more as an athlete in the passing game. So I think that's an interesting choice. I think for what the Giants do and what Tom Coughlin wants, I think Nicholas is probably the better pick. But I could see why a team would go with Seferian Jenkins instead.
I appreciate it, John. That's all I have for the day.
Thanks, Bash. Appreciate it. And you know, I think that's an interesting question. If those two guys are there and the Giants picking round two and they still need a tight end, which one do you take? And again, I don't take Amaro. Doesn't block at all. He's a guy that, you know who he is? He's Travis Beckham. He's a better version of Travis Beckham. You don't want that. No, no. So, do you like the upside of Seferian Jenkins? You know, more of a receiver, more of an athlete, former basketball player, that type of guy, or would you rather have Nicholas that can do it all? Based on what the Giants like to do with Tom Coughlin, I think Nicholas is the better fit, and I think he can step in and play right away, something you need if you're the Giants at tight end this season. Let's go to Andre in New Jersey next. Andre, how are you?
How you doing?
Doing well.
Josh Mo.
How are you?
All right, all right. Just had a little concerns about my Giants coming into this season.
Yeah, what do you got?
Just pretty much looking at linebackers, offensive line. I mean, it's hectic out there. It's everywhere. Cornerbacks, wide receivers, you name it. I just had a quick question on the linebackers. Are we thinking on looking to draft anyone high, first, second round, possibly?
Oh, obviously, I think it depends who's on the board. I don't think if Khalil Mack, by some miracle, drops to 12, I'm sure the Giants would jump at the opportunity to get a guy like him. You know, Anthony Barr is a player that's a 3-4 outside linebacker. You'd have to convert him. I'm not sure you want to, you know, attack that in round number one. I think C.J. Mosley could be a good player at the will linebacker spot in round one. But honestly, I think they have bigger needs elsewhere. We'll see what they do in free agency. That might change. But I think the Giants would be open to drafting a linebacker in rounds 1-3 if the right guy is there at the right value when the Giants come up to pick. Even if you bring back Beeson, you have Jaquan, and you know, if Spencer Payson comes back, they can kind of split time at will. But I think you still need a true, strong side linebacker. And I think the Giants, if a guy like that's available in the draft at the right spot with the right value, on they're picking him.
Okay. And I've also been – another question. I've also been reading up on John Beeson.
Yeah.
There's conversation talks, right, that we might be trying to keep him?
Well, the interesting thing is that John Beeson doesn't have an agent, so he's representing himself. So it's very interesting to see how that could affect his potential negotiations. But according to reports, the Giants are talking to him. I'm sure the Giants would like to have him back. And if he can get him back before he hits the free agent market, that's great. But obviously, they and John Beeson have to come to an agreement and a compromise on guaranteed money, give the Giants some protection against his past injury history, but give Beeson enough money up front to make the contract worthwhile. And if they can figure that out before free agency, great, he'll be back. The Giants will plug him in middle linebacker and be thrilled about it. But if not, he'll hit free agency, see what other offers he gets, and then the Giants will figure it out.
Okay, I hope so. Lately, Jerry Reese hasn't been hitting on the draft these past couple years and just has me a little concerned. Hopefully he'll do well this year. And obviously we need an offensive line, obviously in the first round.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not sure you necessarily need an offensive lineman in the first round. If you get a couple good offensive linemen in free agency, I think you'll be okay. But look, the Giants will look for an offensive line early in this draft. They need to get younger. They need to build a good foundation.
Okay. Well, Mr. Smug, that's all for today for me.
All right, Andre. Thank you. Appreciate the call.
All right, Mr. Smug. Take care.
And Andre, call me John. Come on. Mr. Smug is my dad. Not that old. That's how you know you're getting old. Somebody starts calling you Mr. Schmelk. It's a big problem. 201-939-4513. One thing Andre mentioned about hitting on the draft. You got to hit on the draft this year. You're picking 12. You got a lot of holes to fill. First and second rounder, you would like to get two guys you could think you can plug in and start year one based on the depth of talent and where the Giants are picking. Let's go back to our phones and say what's up to Justin in Dobbs Ferry. Justin, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I had a double-part question about the draft coming up.
Sure, go ahead.
You see a lot of mock drafts and stuff. You know, barring Clowney and all the quarterbacks on, who would you think the Giants would be their number one guy on their radar, you know, if they had to pick up pretty much everybody available besides Clowney and the, you know, three or four quarterbacks?
Ooh, so, well, let me put it this way. If the Giants were picking number one overall in this draft and they said, you know what, you can have anybody on the draft board, I guess they'd pick Clowney of a 4-3 defensive
end. No, I'm going to say Clowney off the, you know, Clowney off the board, you know, at number 12, who do you think their number one guy is that they're hoping that comes to number 12?
If you're taking Clowney out of the equation and no quarterbacks, yeah, who would I think be the number one guy in the Giants board? I think you would look at either Jake Matthews or Greg Robinson, the two tackles, and I think Sammy Watkins would be in the mix of wide receiver too. That guy is an athletic freak, man. I'm telling you, he would be in the mix in that spot.
Okay, and you think if the Giants don't, you know, they don't have the pick at number 12 that they like, you think they're regretting, like, possibly winning that last game and losing, you know, losing three spots because they would have been down to, like, number 9, you know, in the draft order?
I mean, it's hard to look back and say, I wish we would have lost one more game so we would pick higher in the draft. It's hard to go back and say that. I get from a fan's perspective why you would say that, but you're trying to win as many games as you can during the regular season.
No, I understand, but week 17, you know, you kind of know where you're positioned. You know you're not going to the playoffs. You know you can maybe throw in some of the, you know, put, you know, Eli unfortunately got hurt. You know, thank God he didn't get hurt worse. You know, but you know, playing him for a quarter and then putting in, you know, somebody else, or you know, trying out different things for next year, because you're always looking for next year. The season was kind of over at that point. I just don't want to miss out on somebody. I see if they miss out on those three tackles, and like you said, in somebody like Watkins, that they might even trade down. You know, they might even try to trade down, trade.
Well, Justin, honestly, I think the Giants are going to have their choice of a couple very good players at 12. And look, Sammy Watkins isn't going to be there. And even if one of the top two tackles aren't there, that's not that big of a deal. Terrell Lewan's a good player. He's an excellent tackle. You can pick him there. Or, you know, a guy like Mike Evans is a big, tall, wide receiver that I think would be very good for the Giants in that spot. Justin Gilbert, the corner, I think would be a very good pick at that spot. Even a Darquez Dennard, a guy a lot of people like out of Michigan State, would be a good pick at that spot. I would not worry about having the opportunity to draft a very talented top-tier player at 12. The Giants will have the opportunity. They just got to make sure they pick the right one that works out.
Okay. And what do you think about the running back situation? What do you think who do you think is their number one guy they're trying to bring in?
Well, I think they'll look at a couple guys in free agency. I think they'll take a look at Ben Tate. I think they'll take a look at Rashad Jennings. I think they'll take a glance at Knowshon Moreno, but his injury history, I think, might scare him away. And frankly, how much of Moreno's success had to do with the fact that the Broncos' passing offense is so dynamic? And, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Teams are playing one linebacker against him and three down defensive linemen. How hard is it to run against fronts like that? So, to me, I think their two top targets in free agency will be Tate and Jennings. Once you get past those guys, some of the second-tier guys are like the Toby Gerharts of the world, guys like that. So I think those are the two types of levels of free agents of running back they'll try to bring in. I believe the Giants' first two moves in free agency, and I'll make this prediction, their first two moves in free agency will be on the offensive line and their running back. Those are the first two spots they'll bring in.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks, Justin.
Hopefully we'll have a good pick in the draft.
Always good to hear from you, buddy. I haven't heard from Justin and Dobbs for in a while, man. Good to hear from you. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat. Michael Eisen from Giants.com will be joining us shortly when he comes in and has a couple of minutes. You can also chime in on the conversation at hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let's go back to our phone and say what's up to Tim in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim, what's going on, pal?
Hi, nothing. I got a question for you. Should the Giants sign Jared Allen from the Vikings to replace Justin Tuck?
Well, Tim, I think Jared Allen's a great player. I think he's going to be a little bit too expensive for the Giants. He's going to get a lot of money out there because of his sack production.
Oh.
That's all right, Tim. Thanks for the call, buddy. We appreciate it. 201-939-4513. I know one of the other guys he wanted to talk about was David Boss. And again, I've mentioned this before, and I'll go through the numbers again. David Boss is interesting. If you let him go this year, you're only saving a little bit over $1 million on the cap. If you designate him a June 1st cut, that number jumps to 3, but then you lose a couple million of cap space next year too. So, I mean, Boss is an interesting guy. Do you cut him? Do you wait to see who you get in free agency? Then you let him go and use his money to sign your draft picks and any, you know, middle of the summer type of free agents? I think that's an option. Or do you just, you know, cut your losses early and move on very quickly and count on the fact you can bring somebody like that, somebody in to replace him? But here's the thing about David Boss, folks. I'm not getting that excited about saving $1.5 million in cap space. That doesn't get me pumped up and excited. Even the post-June 1st $3 million you get from letting him go doesn't get me that excited. It's not going to help you a ton. So is that extra space, whether it's pre- or post-June 1st, is that worth losing a guy that can give you very good veteran depth at both guard and center? Everyone talks about how the Giants, you know, love to have these guys and fans love to have these guys that can play multiple positions. Well, David Boss is one of those guys. He can play both guard spots and he can play center. Now, I'm not saying hand him your starting job based on his injury problems the last couple of years, but do you just want to let him go for nothing? For $1.5 million in cap space to sign, you know, some guy that probably, you know, might not even make the roster in June? That doesn't get me excited. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Keith in New York. Keith, what's going on, bud?
Hey, what's going on? I had two questions. One about the free agency. Do you think the Giants will make a play for Jarvis Byrd? And do you think if the at number 12, if they reach for somebody like C.J. Mosley or somebody like that, would you think they'd trade down or trade out of the pick?
Well, Jarvis Byrd, to me, is probably the best single player in free agency this year. He's that good. But here's the thing. The Giants, their maybe strongest position on the roster right now is at safety. Anchor Roll is playing great football, playing the best football of his career. Will Hill's a young up-and-comer. They drafted Cooper Terrell last year, and you likely have Stevie Brown coming back from that ACL at a low contract number. I think safety is the one spot the Giants don't need help, so I think they'll let Byrd sign elsewhere.
What about the backside? Do you go corner with number 12? Is that a reach? Do you go get the guy from Michigan State, or do you, you know, test the free agent market? I know Brett Grimes just signed that deal with Miami, so he's off. He was the best corner that's still out there. What's some other corners out there? Because I know we need help. Because I don't know what's the status on Terrell Thomas or Corey Webster.
There are a lot of guys out there in free agency at cornerback, and I'll give you a couple names in a second, that are kind of at that mid-level status. And, you know, they might not be the Brent Grimes of the world, who really was one of the best, you know, corners available in free agency. But there are a lot of guys out there, you know, below the Dominique Rodgers-Cromarties, below the Vontae Davises, who are going to get the big, big contracts that you can get for less money that are going to give you some production. You got Captain Munnerlin, a guy that can play the slot from Carolina. He's a good player.
They're going to resign him. Carolina's going to resign him.
Well, remember, they have a lot of money going to Greg Hardy. They're trying to re-sign him. They got to figure out what they're doing with Steve Smith's contract. So the Panthers have other issues. So, you know, I think Munnerlin's a guy you could talk about. You could talk about a guy like Shields from Green Bay. He's a guy that's a pretty solid corner. You know, you can bring back Jermaine McBride. He's pretty good. So the Werner guy out of Tennessee is a good corner that I don't think will cost a ton of money. So I think there are some corners out there you can get without breaking the bank. But I do believe at number 12, either Justin Gilbert, who I like better than Denard, or Darquez Denard could be a choice for the Giants at 12 if they think that's the best player available on the board.
So what do you think they're going to do with Hakeem Nicks? You think they're going to keep him or just let him go?
I think Hakeem Nicks is going to walk. I think he'll be too expensive. Another team will offer him $7, $8 million a year, and I don't think the Giants want to go that high, nor can they afford to go that high with all their other needs.
No, they can't. Well, thank you. Thank you for answering the questions for me.
Hey, I appreciate it, Keith. Thanks a lot. One more caller before we say hi to Michael Eisen. Let's go to Allen in Miami. Allen, what's going on?
How are you?
What's up, Al?
Nothing much, man. I just haven't called in a while. But I think that they need to go, I mean, defense. And I tweeted this earlier to you guys. I mean, if you look at the history of their third-round picks, they haven't been anything. So why not package that third round with your first round and try to move up to the top five and then get a Clowney or get a Mac? And then if you can sign decent and bring in Mac, or sign decent and bring in Clowney, or just something like that. I mean, you see the Seahawks and what they've done with their defense. You saw the Ravens last year and what they did with their defense. I mean, the defense wins championships.
Yeah, Allen, I hear you, but Allen, to move into the top five from 12, you're talking about trading this year's second round pick and probably a one or a two from next year's draft. You're willing to trade two potential stars.
No, I'm saying if you can get I said if you can get away with maybe this year's third.
No, there's no chance. In order to move into the top five in these drafts, teams want premium picks. So if you want to move into the top five in this draft, and that's what you're going to have to do if you want to guarantee you're going to get a guy like Mac, it's going to cost you at minimum this year's two and probably potentially next year's one or two as well.
All right, if Mac is that special player, you look at Mike Mayock, everything he's saying about him. If he's that special player, they've done it with in the past. You know, they did it with Eli Manning. So if you really believe that Mac is the guy that can help you, then, I'm kind of there. The Giants are ready to win now. They can't worry about the future.
Alan, here's my point, though. How much better is Mac than a guy like Anthony Barr, C.J. Mosley, both of which could be there at 12? So I wouldn't sacrifice a couple other draft picks when you can get a player that – maybe is a step or a step and a half below the other if you stay at 12. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And one last point. Brandon Spikes, what do you think about him? I mean, it looks like he's not going to go back with New England. He's 3 years younger than Beeson, had 135 tackles last year. I mean, I like the kid. But in case maybe Beeson doesn't work out, do you think that they look at a kid like Brandon Spikes?
I think Spikes is a similar player in that he's a downhill run defender, but I don't think he has the leadership that Beeson has. And he's probably going to cost a lot of money. I also wonder at the fact that it seemed like he had a bit of a falling out with Bill Belichick. And anyone that has a falling out with Belichick, you know, you wonder about, you know, his locker room demeanor, the type of leader that he is. So I think Spikes is a guy you look at if Beeson somehow slips out of your fingers because he's a good run defender. But there are some red flags, in my opinion, about Brandon Spikes.
And one last one, I guess a coin flip. Do you bring back Linval Joseph?
I mean, I think the Giants would love to bring back Linval Joseph if the price is right. The problem is that, you know, he's looking for a big money payout in free agency, and who can blame him? I would, too. It's the first time he has a chance to test the market. I think the Giants think he's a great player. They'd love to have him back. I just think, Alan, he's probably going to cost too much money.
All right, well, we get to find out in a couple of weeks, a couple of days, actually.
Yeah, it's coming fast and furious. Thanks, Alan.
Yep.
And now we are joined by Michael Eisen, beat reporter for Giants.com. Haven't talked to Mike in a while. I want to get his take on some stuff before free agency begins. You can start negotiating on March 9th. March 11th, Mike, you can start signing players from other teams. Very exciting time. And so far, all quiet on the Western front for the Giants. I'm starting to sense a little bit of a frustration from the Giant fans out there. I'm sure you're getting the same on the mailbags.
Yeah, no question. Giant fans still obviously have not gotten over the 2013 season, and they want more activity. But I just think that Jerry Reese and everyone's keeping their options open, and I'm sure a lot is going to happen. But it's just, there's not rushing in anything right now.
Would you expect some juggling of existing contracts, adjusting of some existing contracts before we hit that free agency period? Do you think it's going to be a rolling situation where it happens as free agency moves along?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be much of that since the cap went up by $10 million. I don't think there's a great need to do that anymore. Because usually any time you do that, it's something you're going to have to pay for down the road anyway. So if you can get away without doing it, it's better for the future. So I think there'll be less of that now because the cap's gone up.
I guess the only guy you'd really think it's because something's going to happen with is probably Chris Snee. He basically volunteered to take a pay cut on Sirius, so you'd figure the Giants
would at least
they
didn't bring him in the next day. He said, hey, you want a cut? Let's do it now. Yeah, come on.
By the way, we are taking your calls with Michael at 201-939-4513. I want to talk a little bit about Michael, some of the Giants' own free agents, they can negotiate with these guys now before free agency starts. And the one that seems, at least in the papers, to be getting the most attention is John Beeson. And it's a fascinating situation because he doesn't have his own agent. So he's kind of negotiating this on his own here. How do you think that's going to affect this negotiation, if at all?
I don't really think it's going to affect it much. It's going to be like, to me, any other negotiation. Does the team want the player? Does the player want to be here? I think it's pretty obvious the player wants to be here. I don't know if he has other options. I would assume for, like so many of these guys, Jerry would like to have him, but not overpay for him, get him at the right price. So I think the fact that he's his own agent, I think that is really a secondary issue. It's just, does he want to be here? Does the team want him? Can they work out a deal?
Yeah, and I guess the real trick to this is that John Beeson, we all saw the impact he had on the team last year. He got here, combined with the return of Will Hill from the suspension, the Giants' defense really got better once you got past that Chicago Bears first half on that Thursday game, and they really were good the rest of the year. But at the same time, you look at John Beeson's past. Microfracture surgery, ACL, Achilles, and basically benched for Chase Blackburn in Carolina because they had him playing outside instead of playing his natural middle linebacker position. And I guess you got to find a way to structure a contract where it gives the Giants some protection against potential injury, but at the same time gives Beeson enough money up front, for lack of a better word, to reward him for the way he played last year.
Yeah, there's no question. And also, I mean, John's been around for a while. I mean, I forget exactly how many years he's been in the league. He's
got to be 7 or 8, right?
Oh, yeah, at least. He's not the biggest guy in the world. I think, you know, yes, he brought all that leadership and production and certainly helped the Giants' defense improve while the season went on. But ideally, I think the Giants would want a bigger player there in the middle of the defense.
Yeah, John Beeson, long term, only 6 foot, 235 pounds, which obviously is not huge. You know, Telvin Smith, the guy that's going to get drafted this year, is about 6'1", 220, and everyone's like, this guy can't play middle linebacker in the league. He's too small. But Beeson's 29 years old. He's been in the league since 2007, so he's played 7 years in the NFL. And important to note, in those 2 years before he got to the Giants, in 2011 and 2012, he only played a combined 5 games because of all those injuries.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, he wasn't playing middle linebacker when he lost his job at Carolina last year. He started the first 2 games on the weak side, and then Chase started for him. So I don't know whether this system was a good fit. I don't know whether he was just rejuvenated by coming to a new team and playing, you know, like with Antrell Roll again. But I would just be worry, I guess maybe is the word, about, you know, can he repeat what he did last year?
And throwing a bank at a guy like that when you have limited resources and a lot of holes to fill can get prohibitive.
Absolutely. No question.
And another guy that, you know, and rightfully so, I mentioned just before you came on, Mike, that's going to be looking for a big payout in free agency, who I know the Giants think the world of as a player, but I just don't know if they're going to be able to figure out a way to bring in Linval Joseph in the amount of space that they have in free agency.
Yeah, I don't either, and I know a lot of people like Linval Joseph. He's obviously not a spectacular play. He's you know, a blue-collar type guy, but, you know, how much money do you want to play for a guy who makes, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 notable plays a game? You know, I don't really know.
Doesn't put a lot of pass pressure on, more of a run-stopper, but very reliable. And, look, you mentioned the cap going up. You know, that doesn't just help the Giants. It helps everybody.
Absolutely.
So there's going to be money flying around, I think, in this free agency period this year, left and right.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, you have a lot of these teams. Boy, I read somewhere the Raiders have like $60
million. $60
million. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
So, I mean, and you have to spend a high percentage of your money.
There's a floor now.
Yeah. So, players are going to be getting – you think contracts were ridiculous before. Wait till this free agency starts. And the Giants are not going to have as much room, obviously, as other teams. So there's going to be a lot of teams out there that have money to throw around.
Heck, just look at the Philadelphia Eagles, all the moves they've been able to make. Now, most of that's been bringing back their own players. And when you win the division the year before, you have the luxury of saying, look, if we just bring back our guys on offense, Nick Foles the whole year, our offense is going to be fine. The Giants need to bring back some of their important players. But at the same time, based on how poorly the offense played this year, they're also going to have to bring in a lot of new faces here to try to get this offense back on track.
Oh, yeah. You have to bring in new blood. You have to rebuild, you know, we've talked about it, the interior of the line.
Running back,
receiver.
Tight end.
I mean, basically you need, other than quarterback, you pretty much need help everywhere on offense.
I mean, Mike, you could be looking right now, realistically, at 5 different starters on offense next year. You could have a new number 2 wide receiver. You could have 2 or 3 offensive linemen, depending on how it goes. You could have a new running back, and you could have a new tight end. That's 6 different guys you could have starting on offense.
No question about it. And I think, you know, based on what the offense did last year, I think that's what you want.
No, you do. I mean, when your owner says the offense is broken in his postseason press conference, guess what? You better have a lot of changes.
That's right.
You got to fix it.
That's right.
If it's broke, you got to fix it. It's the opposite. If you ain't broke, don't fix, break it. You know what I meant. 201-939-4513. Mike, I want to touch on one other guy, and I think it's interesting because, you know, he has been, you know, around this offseason. That's Justin Tuck. He's been with the Giants a very long time. You mentioned how, it, you know, Beeson, the Giants would like him back. Beeson seems like he would want to be back as well. You got to think the same would apply with Justin Tuck.
I did, and I still do.
But
I think he made it clear when he spoke, he did some interviews Super Bowl week, that he wants to see what's out there.
That's true.
And he's never really been in this position. You know, again, it'll be interesting to see what kind of market there is for Justin. He obviously he had 11 sacks last year. You know, they were bunched really in, like, really most of them in three big games. I think he's 31 years old. He's been in the league for a while. I think he's coming up on his ninth year now. You know, he certainly is still a very productive player. My sense is, yes, he would like to be here, but not so much that he's going to cost himself a lot of money to do it.
Yeah, this will be
whether he gets an offer somewhere else.
He's realistically, this is the last time he's going to have a chance to sign a contract in the NFL.
Right, exactly. Well, big yes.
A multiple year
yes.
significant contract.
So,
I
he wants to see what's out there. I think he made that clear.
Final question, Mike, before we take a couple calls with you, and I think this is an interesting question, and I'm going to try to phrase it the right way. Where do you think Tremaine McBride's value is? Did he sneak by the league last year, or did everybody notice that he played as well as he did when he had the opportunity? And if you're the Giants and you bring him back, where are you comfortable slotting him in? Are you comfortable slotting him in as your number three, or is he more of a number four in your eyes? How do you see him fitting in, and where's his value?
You know, I just think he did some good things last year, no question. I think he surprised people. He was out of football the previous season.
Six-year pro, by the way. People think he's a rookie. He's been around.
Yeah. You know, I just, again, he's kind of a short guy, and I just think the trend now with so many big, strong receivers is toward the larger cornerbacks. I think you need I just think you can't put a bunch no offense to Tremaine McBride, but you can't put a bunch of Tremaine McBrides out there at the same time against – there's too many big, strong receivers in the league now who are just going to out-muscle smaller cornerbacks for the ball. And I think you need bigger corner. I think there's a place for Tremaine McBride, but I don't know if I'd want him, you know, as a front-line starting cornerback.
And the scary thing when you look at it, you got Prince, who's a fairly well-sized corner. He's about 6'1". He's got some weight to him. He can be physical. But right now behind them on the roster, if you bring back McBride, smaller guy, Jaron Hosley, tiny guy.
Yeah.
Charles James, tiny guy. So you really don't have any size and strength there at corner.
I think one of the needs that doesn't get talked about a lot is a big corner. No question.
I agree 100%. Mike, let's go to the calls here. We got three on the line for you. Let's go to our good pal Anthony down in Phoenix, Arizona. Anthony, what's up, pal?
Good morning, Michael. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Listen, Michael, I was just thinking, John's had a lot of guests on, and we've been going around week after week and who the Giants might get. Who do you like in free agency, and why? Who do you think we can get, honestly?
Well, quite honestly, I think I'm barred by organizational policy from talking about specific players, but, you have to rebuild the offensive line. We have to rebuild the offensive line. The offensive line is the heart and soul of your football team. You cannot win if you have a bad offensive line. And our offensive line did not play well last year. So I'm not going to give you specific players, but you're asking me where to start. That's where you start.
Okay. So if we were able to sign Schwartz from Kansas City, and Tate is what we've been kicking around for the last few weeks as a running back, how much money do you think it might take? Are you able to go there?
Yeah, no, I honestly don't know how much money it's going to take. I really don't. I mean, from what I've heard, those guys are good players. You know, I don't look at tape offensive linemen. I don't know what,
I know you're in that film room all day, Mike. Come on.
This guy's better than that guy. That's why I trust the people who do that stuff for a living. But, I mean, like John and I were just saying, you need a lot of help on offense. We got to start Tuesday.
Okay. And in the draft, if in a perfect world, who would you like to see in the first and second round?
The best offensive lineman available.
Okay.
Well, that makes it simple, doesn't it?
You can't win if your offensive line is not good. You just can't win in the NFL if you have a bad offensive line. And it's time the Giants, in my opinion, the Giants have to address that. I mean, they started last year with Justin Pugh.
You just confirmed everything that we were kicking around for the last few weeks. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, Anthony. Thanks for the call, pal. I heard Anthony was about to ask you about the tight end position, Mike. I think it's interesting. Do you see tight end in the draft, or at least in the more attacking that spot in free agency?
Probably more in free agency, I would think. Yeah, I just think, you know, those high, unless there's somebody who, for those high draft choices are just so precious.
Right.
You know, I mean, hopefully we won't be picking 12th again soon. But if you do stay at 12, I mean, to get the 12th pick in the draft, that's
you could use a 2 on a tight end, though, theoretically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you could use a 2 on a lot of things. But, you know, it's very rare, hopefully, that you're picking, you know, you get to pick the 12th player in the draft. And I don't know that tight end is, you know, one of those positions that's really going to dramatically change the fortunes of your football team.
Hey, look, and I know the Giants always say best player available, but I think we've seen needs sneak into the equation a little bit over the last few years with who they've taken. And I keep telling all my callers who say, John, who are the Giants going to draft? They go, I don't even know who they got in free agency yet. Can I wait to say who they bring in terms of veterans before I tell you who they're going to pick in rounds 1 and 2?
Yeah, that's no question. Who they add in free agency will affect, but probably not as much as a lot of people think. They're still going to, I mean, if there's a player with a grade so much better than anybody else's, even if they sign 2 players at that position,
right,
they'll take them.
Yeah, it's just a matter of whether or not it's close in terms of the rankings. 201-939-4513. Frank's in Tampa. Frank, good morning.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Michael. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. A couple things. Gosh, John, you scared me earlier when you were talking about that tight end Jenkins. You said he was athletic, fast, potential. We already have him on the roster. It's Adrian Robinson.
That is actually not a bad point. But remember, Robinson was a later round pick and a guy that had very little production in college. You know, Jenkins did do a little bit more in his time in college, but I get your point.
And I was wondering if you and Michael might agree with this assessment, which has got me sort of frightened. When you told that caller earlier that we have much bigger needs than linebacker, knowing what we went into last year, into the season with, and then what we ended up with, with a quick glance at the roster with people that aren't signed to date, tell me if you agree with this quick assessment. At cornerback, we need 1 or 2 with 1 starter. Linebacker, we need 2 or 3 with 2 starters. Offensive line, we need 2 or 3 with potentially 3 starters. Tight end, we need 1 or 2 with 1 starter. Wide receiver, 1 or 2 with 1 starter. Running back, 1 or 2 with 1 starter. Defensive end, if we lose Tuck, 1 starter. And a kicker, punt returner, we need 1 or 2. That scares the hell out of me. Do you agree with that?
I mean, I think you kind of hit it on the head. If Beeson gets back, I think you can subtract 1 from that linebacker needs that you listed there. But, Mike, we talked about all the needs, and I think Frank got to just hit it right on the head here. Those are a lot of guys you got to bring in.
Well, we better start acquiring some extra draft choices. We only have 6 right now. I don't think there's any question. But, you know, Jerry Reese made it clear when he talked at the combine that the roster is going to undergo a significant overhaul. And, you know, I think even – it wouldn't surprise me that even people that we now – and I can't give you somebody specific that we are penciling in as a starter is not going to be here. I get the sense that Jerry really wants to revamp the entire roster. So I think starting next Tuesday and through – the next 2 or 3 months, there's going to be a lot of changes.
And guys, I just had one quick question I wanted your opinion on.
Sure.
You know, in watching over the season and his very limited action, in watching the defensive end more, you know, just in my mind, and that's why I went back, I have those shortcuts taped. And so because I looked at him and I said, he seems to have just an uncanny knack for getting off the ball, like something I've never really seen before. I went back to confirm that, and sure enough, now sometimes he's a little too quick off the snap, and I think that's why, you know, he had those blocked field goals in preseason and during the game, or punts, you know, because his quickness is just outstanding. But, A, I wanted to ask if you guys agreed with that, but secondly, do you know if he's put on any weight over the offseason, and do you think he'll ever get big and strong enough to play that left defensive end spot?
I have not seen him since they left here, whatever day that was. December
I believe he 30th. Had a surgery, too, didn't he? I think he posted on Twitter he was recovering from some type of arm injury, if I'm not mistaken.
They asked him. are they asking him to do that? Do you know? Do they have a weight? They don't want to come in at 280 or something?
I'm sure they have a. I don't know whether. I would assume they would want him to add some muscle. I would say that they probably ask that of, 95% of young linemen to add weight and muscle. So, no, there's no question that Moore has a lot of raw talent. For a lot of reasons last year, he didn't get on the field as much as a lot of people would have liked, but you like to think as players mature and grow, that they'll become more of a factor, and he's absolutely a player that the Giants expect to use more in 2014.
When you see him in the locker room, has he got a frame?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, sure. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Michael. It's a pleasure. I hope you come back again, and thank you, John.
Thank you, Frank. No problem. And, Frank, that is one of the things that they talked about when he came out and something they're focusing on with DeMondre Moore to get him to work to the point where he has an NFL-quality body where he can hold up. Because, frankly, last year, the way he came in and he had that shoulder injury earlier in the year, he wouldn't have been able to hold up for 50, 60 snaps at defensive end. He would have gotten run over. They hope coming into his second year now with an offseason to get into shape, that's not going to be the case.
And you also have to remember a lot of, frankly, with him, where there was some maturity things there.
Yep.
He's a really, I think he was 20 years old last year.
Young kid.
Yeah, young kid. He'll grow and mature, and he'll get better in a lot of ways.
201-939-4513. Tony is in Staten Island. Tony, what's up?
Hi, hello, John. Just want to say your Thursday show last week provided a lot of information. I look forward to hearing him talk about the draft, the guy from Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Okay. Last week, I believe both you and him said that this was a very deep tackle draft. I'm wondering, are we just talking tackles in general, or could we find even a starter left tackle in the second or third round?
I mean, to find a starting left tackle in round three, is there a guy in that area that, you could roll the dice on and take and you hope? Yeah, but if you're looking for a surefire starter at left tackle, you better pick him in the first round, or early second at the very worst.
Okay, because I'm just saying, if I'm Jerry Reese, even if I fix the interior of the line, can I trust Will Beatty? If he has a year like he did last year, that would just pretty much nullify all the good work he's done. You have to have the tight end chip over to take away from the offense. I just think we need a backup plan or a primary plan for the left tackle position.
Well, Will Beatty's the primary plan at left tackle. There's no question. They just gave him a boatload of money last year. And Will Beatty's just going to have to get better as a player. That's the plan at left tackle. Will Beatty's there. You can't just get rid of a guy after you gave him $30 million.
I think he's the best free agent. But, if you take a look at his last 3 years, he had the eye injury, so he's out most of the season. 2 years ago, he's pretty good, but still, average at best run blocker, probably below average. And last year was horrible. Changing gears, before you guys were talking about running backs yesterday, Ben Tate, didn't he have like a serious back injury that kept him out a few games?
Ben Tate did get hurt at the end of last year. I don't remember the severity of it, but he is supposed to be healthy heading into next season.
I'm just thinking, it might be better if we just waited till near the start of the season, just sign a couple of veteran running backs for near the minimum. Like last year, we got Brandon Jacobs. We could also have gotten, I believe, Willie McGinnis. And, just have a nice rotation to safeguard against injury instead of, because Wilson's already a risk. And I really don't want to invest decent to big money in another running back that's just going to be another risk.
Well, it's a good theory, but when you talk about we had a nice rotation to safeguard against injury, then all those guys got injured. So we didn't have anybody. So it didn't work out.
And quite frankly, Mike, everybody at running back to a certain extent is an injury risk. It's a tough position to keep a guy healthy for 16 games in the NFL these days. It's just not easy.
No question about it. Yeah, that's why you need a few of those guys, and I'd rather see us try out some young guys. The list of free agent running backs is pretty unimpressive. I would hope that we could get maybe a couple guys in the draft, at least one guy in the draft, and keep our fingers crossed that David Wilson can come back.
Yeah, about Wilson. I remember reading a newspaper article that said he was a bit confused about his injuries, like the symptoms that a running back usually has from that neck injury he didn't feel that he had. Does this mean he could have a better recovery time, or it's healthier than the usual person that has that post-surgery?
You know, I honestly don't know. You know, I just know that he thought the surgery was successful, and I really haven't heard any updates on his condition since the surgery. We just have to wait and see on David Wilson.
Yeah, and the way Jerry Reese put it in his press conference after the season was over, and then he spoke again at the Combine, I mean, you got the feeling that they weren't even sure if he'd be ready for training camp.
Right.
You know, it's a very touch-and-go type of injury here. Guys recover differently. And it's different than a quarterback having an injury like that, too. The running back puts his head down and runs into Big Ben. I mean, the quarterback's, you know, running away from these guys and throwing passes. It's a very serious thing. But I think the bottom line is that you love that David Wilson back, be a big factor, but you really can't depend on him coming off such a serious injury.
No, absolutely. I mean, you basically have to rebuild the whole running back core.
And I'm going back on the DeMonte Moore question. Mike Conor wrote on February 11th on NJ.com that DeMonte Moore did tell him he had a minor off-season shoulder surgery, and he doesn't want to try to put on 15 pounds of muscle during the course of the off-season, which is what we talked about.
Right.
So trying to get back from that. 201-939-4513. Brad is in San Diego. Brad, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, John?
What's up, Brad?
Big fan, by the way.
Thank you.
Always listen to the show. The show's great. Very informative. I listen all the time.
Appreciate it.
Couple questions here real quick. So with the draft and stuff coming up here real soon, I'm curious to what your opinion is with the whole Alex Mack deal, or Alex Mack for our center. I mean, what's the possibility of us actually – I mean, I know they put a tag on him and all, but, I mean, is there really a chance that we're actually going to try to go after him? I mean, because he's probably one of the better centers.
Well, Brad, I think the Giants are all in favor of going after some of the best offensive linemen in free agency. But Michael, when teams put a thing like a transition tag on a player, it makes it very prohibitive. Even though you're not giving up draft picks, the Browns can match now. It makes it very prohibitive to go after a guy with any one of those tags on him.
Yeah, it's very hard. I don't think I think it's very unlikely that the Giants would end up with that.
I mean, heck, I don't remember the last time a team signed another player away from another team that had a tag on him. I mean, you got to go back years since last time that even happened, don't you?
Nothing leaps to mind, really.
No.
Yeah, I mean, the tags, it's like the other teams don't want to mess with players with tags on them.
No, yeah, because, you know, you sign and then you got to wait 5 days for the match. It puts a crank into all your plans. It, frankly, it's just a huge pain in the ass for the team that wants to bring him in.
So if they actually match it, is he forced to take that deal?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, okay. So that really does tie our hands.
It makes it real tough. But there are a lot of other guys out there that are offensive linemen in free agency that can be had for less money and can give you nearly as much value. So the Giants have a ton of options.
Okay. So my next question here would be, like, I'm so, like, tired of the tight end one-year wonder situation. I'm thinking, you know, I obviously we need to get someone young, strong, and someone we could build. But for right now, I mean, who do you see as someone that we could bring in right now to help with our offense? Because I'm thinking like someone like Scott Chandler, so, you know, someone that was, you know, that can play football and can help our team out right now. I mean, who do you think that we could bring in right now that can actually, you know, help our team move forward right away? Give Eli another option, someone that could, you know, we got another chance to, you know, just help the offense out.
Well, Mike, as you mentioned, that probably is going to have to be someone in free agency because tight ends in the draft sometimes, even last year, Ty Leifert, a first-round tight end, Zach Ertz, they can be somewhat of a project.
Yeah, you know, the difficulty with answering that question, frankly, is not really knowing exactly what Ben McAdoo's offense is going to look like.
Great point.
And I don't know how much he wants to utilize a tight end, what he wants the tight end to do. He may want a completely different type of tight end than what we've seen here. I honestly don't know what the offense is going to look. I mean, they're still upstairs putting together the offense, so it's a little hard to say. You know, if all I can say is if Ben McAdoo, when he was asked about running back, said his first priority is a guy who can protect the quarterback, I'm going to assume this first priority for a tight end is going to be somebody who can block.
Great point.
Block. That's probably, yeah, it's always been our thing.
So it's a little harder, and it's not just tight end. You know, we're talking about bringing in all these guys at, you know, all these offensive positions. And frankly, John and I don't really know what kind of offense we're going to run this year.
Frankly, I don't know the people upstairs, though, yet.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody really knows.
Yeah, all we keep hearing about is how they're going to take what, you know, Ben McAdoo's bringing in, and they're going to blend it with what we've got. It's going to be an old and a new. You know, no one publicly has said anything about specifics, which makes it very hard for us to sit here and say, yeah, that player is going to fit perfectly into the Giants' offense, because, frankly, we don't know what the Giants' offense is going to look like.
Well, nobody really knows, but I have to say that I am truly excited to find out what it's going to look like. I mean, that's something we've been needing for a while as an overhaul and something new, a new fresh look.
Yeah, there's no question. Whatever it is, it better be better than a 28th ranked offense in the league.
Brad, thanks for the call, bud.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you. And it's funny, we're all kind of waiting. And, Mike, the sad thing is that we're probably not going to know, not even until training camp probably. You know, you see stuff in mini camp, you see stuff in OTAs, but you're not going to see that whole package. And, frankly, you're probably not going to see it until the second week of camp when they start doing some of the non-fundamental stuff. So it's going to be a long wait before we start figuring out what they're going to do.
Well, we're really not going to see it until regular season, because they're not going to put
that's
a whole lot out
too,
there
yeah.
in the preseason. I mean, that's the one thing the Giants have will have early in the season is the element of surprise. What are they going to do? I think the preseason is going to – they're really going to keep things under wraps this
very
year.
Very vanilla, right?
Well, why show anything?
It's a great point. Well, I think they'll probably have more screen passes. I will say that.
Well,
and they'll try to be better in the screen game,
I don't know
too.
If
How
there'll be
that?
More. I just hope they're
better.
Better, yeah.
All right. Well, one more call from Michael. We thank him for joining us this morning. I know this guy really loves to talk to Mike when he's on the show, and that's Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. Just a quick aside, you know, the offensive is broken phrase. I don't know if you guys read the business pages this morning, but the CEO at Radio Shack announced that Radio Shack is broken. I wonder whether that phrase is going to become the buzzword of the business
We've
world.
We've hired him as an offensive assistant, by the way.
Well, luckily, if Radio Shack is broken, you would go to Radio Shack to get the parts to fix Radio Shack, so it's fine.
And who knows? Mr. Mara may have started a trend here with that phrase. How would you guys like following offensive line opening night? And I just want to say I would settle for this at this point, right? Opening day of the season, left to right, Will Beatty, Brandon Mosley, even Dietrich Smith at center. I think we can get him. I don't think the Packers want to pay a lot of money to their center. I know Aaron Rodgers wants him back badly, but I think we can get Smith. Second-round draft choice at right guard, Justin Pugh at right tackle, Booth as our first interior lineman off the bench. Swing tackle. Hey, don't laugh when I say this, but Sean Locklear is alive and well. Had signed with Atlanta at the end of last season. Veteran swing tackle like Locklear, maybe Bryant McKinney.
Len, that means only adding.
Brewer's going to make this roster. He's got one more year.
Yeah, Len. But here's my issue with your scenario, and I think Michael agree with me here. You're only adding one veteran and one high draft pick. I would like to have another guy in the mix somewhere, whether in the draft or free agency, to give a little bit more depth. Mike, I'm not sure if you agree with me or not.
No, I think we're going to bring in hopefully two veterans, and I wouldn't mind seeing two draft picks. And also, I would not discount Chris Snee at this point.
Yeah.
Chris Snee has he's been in the weight room every day.
Literally every day for 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah. He is okay. – He is determined to come back. The last thing he wants to do is end his career after playing 3 games in 2013. You know, of all the guys you mentioned, nothing against Brandon Mosley, but I would rather have Booth at left guard than Brandon Mosley.
Yeah, I agree with that, too.
I'd rather have, you know, Snee in there.
How about David Boss? What do you think the Giants are going to do with him, Mike?
I don't know. Tough. It's tough. I just kind of sense that they're going to move on. I mean, I'm just guessing.
I would move on from David Boss.
That would be my guess.
And often 9 times out of 10, I deserve to be cut off in mid-sentence because I'm not all that smart. But if you'd allowed me to get to number 9, I would have said, let's bring Chris Snee back at a lower salary. Look, the Giants have always been a loyal outfit. If anybody deserves loyalty from this organization, it's Chris Snee.
Yeah, I agree, but I think loyalty's got nothing to do with it at this point. I think Chris Snee...
Maybe he can still play.
If he can still play, he's pretty darn good. And if he can't play, the loyalty's got nothing to do with it. He won't be here.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't discount that. Can you give me one other
point?
Yeah,
real quick,
linebackers?
Yeah.
Okay. If the Paysinger numbers are right, we're going to be paying the weak side linebackers, Jaquan Williams and Paysinger, about $2.8 million next year.
Okay.
That's a lot of money for those two guys. I was surprised at the pacing of numbers. Good for him. And, you know, young, emerging veteran. I know he's an undrafted free agent, you know, back in the day. 4 years, he fits right into that 4 to 8 year category. But I thought that was a fraction high for Paysinger. Unless the Giants feel like somebody was going to, you know, was going to take him away. I don't know. What did you think about that number? I think it was 1475.
Yet again, the Giants haven't released any of that stuff yet, so it's honestly hard for us to comment on them. But Glenn, thanks for the call. We appreciate it always, bud.
Okay.
One thing about Paysinger, Mike, he's a useful player. He's a good special teamer. He can play inside. He can play outside. He's one of those guys that you'd love to have on your team for depth and for special teams.
Yeah, and I think the Giants still view him as an ascending player. You know, as he mentioned, he's a free agent. I think Paysinger is still a guy that was improving. He got a chance to play a little last year. I think he's a little more reliable maybe than Jaquan, maybe not as athletic, but, you know.
Higher floor, lower ceiling.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think it was pretty good. He's a good young linebacker that's been around who I think is still getting better.
Michael, it was a pleasure. We look forward to all your writing about all these Giants free agency moves that are going to happen at any second now.
I've got to go rest because starting Tuesday, we'll be writing stories left and right.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
That's Michael Eisen, beat reporter for Giants.com. Does a fantastic job. We thank for him giving us his valuable time on this Wednesday morning on Giants.com. We'll take one more call before we say goodbye, and that's Jim in Rhode Island. Jim, good morning. How you be?
Hey, John. Good morning. Love your show, man.
Thanks,
since
Jim.
I discovered it.
Appreciate
it. Yeah, no problem. Since I discovered it, man, I'm getting less and less work done.
Well, I don't want to be the reason you lose your job, Jim. Come on now.
Oh, thanks, man. I'll try to multitask. Hey, man, I wanted to talk a little bit about Beeson. Like, the more, you know, I hear it talked about, the more I feel like, you know, we should really be careful with what we offer him. You know, I think he's a good leader. I saw him on, like, Mic'd Up, and he seemed like a pretty good leader. But I feel like, okay, we need to be careful and, like, you know, break the bank on this guy because of his injury and because of his play and his size. Mike was mentioning his size. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know what's funny? Mike mentioned his size, and I've never actually brought that up on the show. I thought Beeson was heavier than 6'2", 230. Just looking at him in the locker room, he looks like a guy that's 245, 250 pounds. He's that thick. In fact, and this is going out on a limb here, but I'm confident in saying this, just looking at John Beeson, he might be the most fit guy on this team. He is thick. He's got nothing but muscle on him. He barely has an ounce of body fat. The guy is jacked. And frankly, I was surprised when I looked up his official weight that it was only about 230. But I think a lot of it is the fact that he's only 6 foot tall. He's not the tallest guy in the world. He's probably my height, maybe a little bit shorter, just a tad. So he's thick, he's wide, he's stout. He's just not the tallest guy in the world.
Yeah, I hear you. So, I mean, I hope we get him. He seems like a good leader. He's not on the level of, like, Pierce. I love Pierce, man. His ferocity, you know, but I think he brings that element to the team on the defense, and I like that. On the draft end, Mike was talking about taking a lineman. I have no problem with taking, like, one of the offensive linemen, like, preferably a tackle. I don't like taking a guard that high or in the first.
Right.
But the thing that I look at is, like, all right, then that, you know, does that mean, like, if we take a left tackle, then does that move Beedy maybe to right tackle? But Michael was saying that, okay, Beedy's a left tackle, so maybe we move to right tackle. Right tackle that high is kind of high, but okay, I can live with it. But then you move, like, your first-round pick from last year, who was supposed to be maybe like a tackle guard, into guard. So that's where I have the problem. Then you're, like, investing, like, your last year's pick is moving in, and maybe, you know, that's good, though, his flexibility. Maybe Beedy, you know, bombs again, then you have somebody to cover for that. Maybe that's good, maybe, you know, that all works out, but it kind of feels like we have so many other holes that if we could get Beedy right, if we could get, you know, Pew outside and pick up, you know, maybe a guard center and maybe a guard in the second, you know, in the first, maybe we address something else, pick up like Gilbert, you know, he looks pretty good. Or Mike Evans falls to us and we got somebody explosive, 6'5", you know.
No, Jim, I agree with you. I think I'm on the same page with you. Roldy from Bayshore called up. I think he's on the same page as us from yesterday. To me, you can get a starting quality guard in round 2, and I'd rather use that first-round pick on a difference maker at a different position. When you, if you can get a starting guard in round two, why would I want to, you know, waste my first round pick on a starting tackle when I know Pugh can play that position anyway? And, you know, maybe that's me putting too much confidence in Will Beattie having a bounce back year. I think he will. If he doesn't, my strategy is going to be wrong, and they should draft a tackle in the first round. If Will Beattie's never going to be what he was 2 years ago, then, yeah, you draft the first-round tackle and you say, look, maybe I'll move Pugh inside for now, but in 2 years, Pugh's back at right tackle, and whoever I draft this year is on the left side. So I think whether or not you draft a tackle in the first round, to be quite honest, is how much faith you have in Will Beattie to be that anchor at left tackle for you.
Yeah, thanks, man. A lot of sense. I'm looking at it, and you know, maybe we pick up in the third round, maybe we pick up a tight end, you know, maybe somebody there that's, you know, can block for us at first and develop a little bit, you know. Maybe there's a third round tight end we pick pretty high, you know, in the third round. So, you know, that's what I've been thinking, man.
All right, appreciate the call, Jim.
I appreciate it, man.
Hey, good to hear from you, and thanks for listening. By the way, we welcome all our new listeners to Big Blue Kickoff, and I can tell this offseason our listenership has grown, because I never heard from Jim before. He's a new caller. Tony in Staten Island, I've been hearing from. He's new. Frank and Anthony, they've been new callers in the offseason. They've been very loyal. Keith in New York, I haven't heard from before. I'm getting new callers every show here. Andre, and it's great. And you guys are doing a great job on the phones, and you're really keeping the discussion live, fun, and entertaining over the course of this offseason. We thank you for joining us. And I feel like, you know, when people come, they stay, which I think is good. I think we're retaining. So if you guys got Giant fans out of state in New York, tell them about the show. Get them calling in. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. The conversation doesn't just occur during the show. It happens all day long. I keep an eye on the channel. We chat. We talk about everything New York Football Giants. Try to keep you up to date. And, of course, Giants.com is your one-stop shop for everything Giants news. As free agency gets here, stay tuned to the website, and that is your place to go. We have a great page going up. Hey, Neely, when is the free agent page going up? It is going end of day today. You can check it out. It'll list who we believe through our NFL.com sources and other publications, who the top free agents are at each position. Nile, myself, Dan Salamon, a couple of the guys in the department came together, and we put together those free agent lists. So it'll be who some of the top targets are at the different free agent spots. We broke it down: center, guard, tackle, you know, defensive tackle, D-end, outside linebacker, middle linebacker. So you'll have that list on Giants.com by the end of the day today, breaking down free agency for you. And it's really going to be a great resource. We'll keep track of where these guys go once they sign. It really is an excellent resource for you guys with free agency really just around the corner. Make sure you check that out. We'll be back tomorrow morning on Giants.com with more Giants talk. For Michael Eisen, I am John Schmelk. Thank you to Dan for running the show, as always, on the phones. We will see you tomorrow morning at 9:30. And either tomorrow or Friday, I'm going to try to get on a national NFL guy to talk about some of the free agencies out there, free agents out there that are available and where they might go. My target right now is Bob Glauber. We'll see if that can work out over the next two mornings right here on Giants.com. For Michael, I'm John. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Have a good one.